page 348, item C, resolution number 05-23-1782 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the amendment to the library director position and modifying the non-union wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 05-23-1782.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple. Report.
Madam Mayor, anytime we have a position that becomes vacant, we always kind of take a look at it and just make sure that the job description's correct, that it's classified correctly. There have, I believe, been some changes as far as staffing over the last few years. I think there was one of the employees wasn't backfilled, I think, either right before COVID or during COVID. So some of the staffing has decreased. Just looking at, as far as the responsibilities, there's definitely the responsibilities there for director. The volume of work compared to other directors of the same level, it's not the same as some of the ones compared to the same level. So I think that's my concern, is just from a quality standpoint, making sure that the same level of work, same volume of work, for the same pay is there. So that was one of my reasons. I did put in there, and we only had it in our wage and grade table from a 24 to a 19. So the recommendation was a 19, but we did go through, took a look at the wage and grade table. We did add 22 in there as part of this, just to show you what that would be as if it was at the 22 level and what that pay range would be. So either 19, 22, or 24.
Just as information to the assembly, I requested that the manager add that grade of 22. So we had a fallback position. We also asked the manager to carefully look at staffing and find efficiencies. The library is sort of precious to me, so this is a very difficult decision on my part. Looking at it very rationally, since we are comparing it to the Nolan, I looked at the hours of operation, and you're correct. We did take away a position. I believe it was library position one. So I believe there's a library director now and a library position two. So the library is, in my mind, during the budget process, has always been taking hits. I mean, heavens to Betsy, we denied them carpet for a couple of years. I figured they were going to start hooking rugs and going to town on that. So I did compare the hours of the library with the Nolan Center. The Nolan Center has 3 full-time employees, and they do have some temps.
It's quite a few temps, and to me, I think that was the contributing factor for this. Between the Nolan Center and Parks and Rec, the amount of temps that are managed, and those are a lot harder to manage.
Right.
It takes up a lot more time. So that was really the contributing factor. And again, when the assembly told me to take a look at some of the different areas and how we could kind of consolidate down that.
Yep, and we did. And the Nolan is open 44 hours a week, 6 days, and the library is open 34 hours in 6 days. But I did want for the assembly to have that fallback position. And I have my budget in front of me if you'd like to know what the director is currently making, and I've done the math on the yearly salaries for grade 19, 22, and 24. What say the assembly?
Well,
okay, Assembly Member Powell.
The way I look at this is I look at us as approving or disapproving on what our city manager has done and what we have asked him to do. Yep. And that is the way I look at it. I'm not a professional on what the library does or the Nolan Center does or anything, but it is his job to come back to us with recommendations and make these recommendations because he's the guy with the feet on the ground. So for us, I have a problem for us to go against what we pay our city manager to do.
Fair enough. I always think you need to fall back position and look at all angles.
I'm hoping that he has done that.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. Yeah, and we did direct him to do this when we hired him. Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I also kind of fall back on our direction to the administrator to really take a hard look at the workforce and come with some adjustments. And he's done that in multiple cases here, both additions and subtractions, or resizing. And again, like Dave, I think I defer to his recommendation on this with his expertise.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? All right. So there's one thing I'd like to... It's a clerical, so I think I can suggest it without asking anyone to make an amendment. But Assembly, if you'll look at the job description on page 352, where it says under distinguishing career features. Yeah, page
139.
Okay, 139 on our thing.
Oh, I have page 352.
No, I don't. It only goes to...
It's under the job description where it says distinguishing career features. It mentions the library services manager.
Change it to director.
Yeah, and I think that should be changed to director. And then somewhere in the correspondence, I read that the director... to be qualified for state grants needs to have continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
That's not listed in the job description, I don't believe, unless an assembly member found that. It doesn't list continuing education.
Assembly, if anyone object?
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll have current library director come to the
microphone. Well, I just want to
microphone.
Clarify that when it's not in the job description because it's not required by the city to have that. It's required for a state grant to have that.
Right.
You have to have a library director and they have to attend some kind of continuing education every year in order to get the grant.
Okay. And don't you think that should be listed in the job description?
It can be.
Okay.
If that's what you prefer.
Anyone object to that? Clerk?
I don't think that, well.
You don't think it's necessary?
No, because what if there's a different grant that they decide to go for that doesn't require that?
Okay. And I've got the literature. The grant is close to 8,000?
7,000.
Borough manager.
And we can just build that into the budget for the continuing education as well, so it's part of the budget that can be, right? So it's just...
Okay.
And so it wouldn't be a requirement, but it's in the budget for them to attend the continuing education.
Okay. It's probably under training, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is where I wish I could make an amend the motion. all right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
No.
And Mayor Gilbert?
No. All right, motion passes. Item D, this is on page 357. Resolution number 05-23-1783 of the City and Borough of Wrangell amending the FY23 WMLNP budget by transferring $40,000 from WMLNP's reserves account to their fuel and oil generation account.
Move to approve resolution number 05-23-1783.
Dalrymple seconds.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Dalrymple. Administrative report.
Madam Mayor, so we did a, and taking a look at what we're going to have for our fuel run coming up, whenever they do the maintenance for SEPA, we realized we're going to be short probably $34,000. Went ahead and put in $40,000 just so we'd make sure we have enough. So that's what this does. It amends the budget to account for that SEPA run that we're going to have to use for light and power. We also had a run earlier in the year that we had not counted on, so that's why it wasn't built into the budget. And then with the increase in rates, we just undershot it a little bit as far as what we thought we were going to need for that SEPA run.
Okay, now for that previous run, did we charge a fuel surcharge? I didn't notice it on my bill.
Yeah, I don't think we did on that. I think it's just that short run. I don't believe we did.
Okay.
But we will for this one.
Okay. And then for the public, and this has been posted in the paper, the normal SEPA maintenance run is from May 31 to approximately June 9. So about 10 days run.
Correct.
And the fuel surcharge is going to be 3.4 cents per kilowatt hour. And then there's even a calculation example in the paper, published in the paper. So for a community wishing to lower that fuel surcharge, they should try to conserve energy, probably starting now, depending on when their bill cycle runs.
Correct.
And we'll be charging that 3.4 cents for the entire bill in July. Correct?
Correct.
For the public. Okay. And using, obviously, the surcharge varies according to the price of fuel and lubricant and things of that manner. So we'll get a good grip on this.
Correct.
The cost, the true cost. Okay. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Dave Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Yes. Item E, approval of the assignment of WMSC lease, Lot 3, in the Wrangell Marine Service Center from Tyler Thompson, doing business as Wrangell Machine Shop, to Dan Thompson, doing business as Trotsky and Thorson Vessel Construction.
Move to approve the assessment of WMSC lease.
Assignment.
Of WM, that's fine. SC lease, Lot 3 in the Wrangell Marine Service Center, from Tyler Thompson, doing business as Wrangell Machine Shop, to Dan Thompson, doing business as Trotsky and Thorson Vessel Construction, for the existing square footage size of 4,240 square feet.
Second. Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Report, please.
Madam Mayor, this just reassigns that lot again to Dan Thompson, Trotsky, Thorson Vessel, to take over that site for the lease for the work that's going on.
And borough clerk?
So if I get it wrong, Steve, you can answer for me, help me. Tyler Thompson had this lease, and he had several amendments to that lease to make it larger. He's outgrown that, but he is going to be leaving that lease, and later on the agenda, there's going to be to approve a separate lot, a different lot for him. And then Dan Thompson is going to be taking over the lease that he currently has. So just reassigning it to Dan, but he won't have anything to do with it.
Okay, and borough clerk, will you verify that the port commission approved this?
The port commission did approve this.
Okay. any questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Powell?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item F, this is on page 367. Approval of the assignment of approval of the modification to Wrangell Marine Service Center leased Lot 3, swapping Lot 3 for Mill Dock, Lot 6, and amending the monthly lease amount for Tyler Thompson doing business as Wrangell Machine Shop.
Move to approve the modification to Wrangell Marine Service Center for Tyler Thompson doing business as Wrangell Machine Shop, swapping Lot 3 for Mill Dock, Lot 6, and amending the monthly lease amount.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Report, please.
Madam Mayor, the clerk did a great job clarifying. This would be the one that now Tyler Thompson will be getting for Lot 6.
Okay, just a swap in borough clerk.
So this lot that he is going to be taking over had been leased previously, and then it was relinquished. And so we do have the amounts, the amount that this lot needed to be billed out for. So we didn't have to do any kind of an appraisal or anything like that. So it's good to go.
All right. Any questions? Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item G, and I'm not going to give you page numbers, Assembly. Have I been giving you the wrong page numbers?
Yes, you certainly have.
And you were going to let me go all evening?
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't know if you had a different paper.
All right. Page
166.
Page 803, Assembly.
Yeah.
All right.
Got
item,
it.
Item G. Approval of a professional services agreement with PND Engineers in the amount of $633,000, $190. Let me try that again. $633,190 for the power plant rehabilitation design project.
Move to approve a professional services agreement, PND Engineers, in the amount of $633,190. For the power plant rehabilitation design project.
Second.
All right. Report, please.
Madam Mayor, so we've been trying to get this design done for the powerhouse for a while. This will actually award this project, so we'll have a shovel-ready project ready to go for that portion of the power plant that is basically crumbling. It really is no longer functional anymore. We don't currently have funding to do it, but having this as a shovel-ready project and be able to kind of move forward and get that in front of the appropriators right now, both from the federal side and the state side, hopefully it'll speed along this process and being able to get funding for it. Last year at this time, this was one of the projects that was on the direct funding items that Murkowski did try to get through. It just didn't make it through and for final funding. This is on the list on the federal side. Just
the designated spending?
Correct.
Yeah, that was one of the
direct congressional spending. Appropriations, I think, is direct congressional
right.
spending.
Right. The old earmarks. Any questions or comments, Assembly? Mm-hmm. Assembly Member Powell?
I thought we had a design on this. We have no design on this at all?
No.
Hmm. Could have swore 7 or 8 years ago when we went, and 6 or 8 years ago when we went and looked at this thing, there was a design done on this.
I think there was a structural analysis done.
Is that what it was?
And the analysis came back bad.
Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking of then.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the new assembly members, the old assembly members had the opportunity, if you want to call it that, to go in and inspect the building with hard hats, and it needs to be dealt with. Assembly Member Morrison.
When we go to demolish it, if you're going to blow it up, I want to be able to push the plunger. Just because it looks like fun.
All right. Yeah, Assemblymember DeBoard.
Be the voice of opposition here. So I have a couple issues with this. Number one, I'd asked about this a long time ago, but let me just say it. I don't think these are sustainable. I don't think the generators are sustainable. We got an estimate if this goes through of what, $20 million to build a new building. I mean, everybody in town can buy 10 generators and put them in their shop. So I'd asked before, like, is this something that we are mandated to have as part of a SEPA agreement? I don't know if I ever got a, to me, I never got a response. So that's one of the issues I have, is do we have to have this? I understand it's awesome when the power goes out and you can flip a button in 2 or 3 hours. You know, I do understand that we have to run the diesels once a year. That'd be the biggest issue. But at some point in time, maintaining these diesel generators becomes cost prohibitive. You know, if you're building a $20 million building to put generators that are older than Ryan and I combined, you know, to cover them. New ones are what, $3 or $4 million a piece? Yeah, almost as old as you. So,
yes.
But in all seriousness, I just don't see that it's, with everything else that we have pending, how it's economically viable to continue this. And we have to figure out some other solution, in my opinion. And then the other thing, it's over $500,000 just for a design so that we might get funded. I mean, I can't support it without knowing if this is something we, is a necessity with SEPA, and or exploring other options for a more of a long-term solution, because I just don't think it's financially viable long-term.
Okay, good comments. Mm-hmm. Assembly Member Howe.
I mean, I agree with part of what I heard there. I think we do have to have backup power of some kind so that we don't, because I think people would be a lot more upset if they didn't have power for like stretches of time when they were repairing the turbines. But do we have an existing building that could be repurposed to house a power plant rather than building a whole new one? You know, we have the hospital that we can't get rid of for love or money. I mean, is there a way that, I mean, we've talked about the, like using the hospital for something, but is there an existing structure that we could repurpose? Like, is, or a way to like make it a little less of a blow? But I would push back on the idea that we don't need backup power, because it sounds great on paper until you have brown out and everyone's
or black
in the middle of winter and you're the whole town's in electric heat.
Assembly Member DeBoard.
Not necessarily. Yes. We'd say we don't need it, but to kind of triage in an emergency type situation or in the power outages in the last week, I just don't. What is it? Like, I don't know, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, $80 million by the time it's done. I guess my issue too is a lot of things, all these decisions have made in the past that I've seen, there wasn't really a long-term thought process that went into how's this going to affect us 10, 15, 20 years from now. So that's my hesitation on this without having a more clear, concise idea going forward.
And Borough Manager?
No, we just want to kind of clarify something. It's really for like the back third of the building, just where the concrete portion is. So the metal building where the actual generators are in right now, they're still fine. It's the one back wall that would need to be rebuilt for the generator building itself. And it's kind of the storage area, the work area where all of, they store all their items and do all the extra work. That's the main area that would have to be replaced. We have, I'd say over the past year, we've made great strides with our current generators as far as going through getting a maintenance plan, getting those rehabilitated. We just had inspections done on all of them. We do have to do a center section overhaul on number one, but 2, 3, and 4 came back better than what we had thought. They just did some injector replacements on some of the generators as well, and definitely more efficient, gone from 8,000 a day to 5,000 a day as far as what the burn cycle was. 8,000 gallons a day to 5,000 gallons a day as far as what we're actually burning. So definitely making a lot of progress and improvement on what our backup power is. I will say that there is a good portion of our community that's heavily dependent on electrical power for, you know, for medical devices. So I do worry about that, especially with the transition, I would think, as far as what we've seen moving from diesel heat or
oil heat.
Over to electric heat. I think as a as a community, we're far more dependent upon electricity than we were probably, let's say, 10 years ago. So definitely moving in that direction. More and more people are going to electric heat compared to what they were before.
Right. And we promoted that, electric. Assembly Member Morrison.
I mean, I can understand what Jim is saying and appreciate it, but what's the alternative? I mean, if we need to start looking beyond the next 20 years, maybe it's nuclear. Maybe it's the small nuclear plants. I mean, that's coming cool. More and more online. Where are you going to get the coal? I mean, I understand, but at this time right now, and probably for the next 20, 30 years, I don't see us getting into something that's like nuclear power, like those small nuclear generators.
And I would just say to some member of the board's point, you know, the 5, 10, 15 years. I mean, one reason we're having a difficulty even getting some of the grant funding, just to put it from a risk analysis forward with doing this design, is that with the Build Back Better and the IIJA, there's a lot of stipulations on for green energy on the projects. And this is for diesel generators. There's really no way we can try to go to, I mean, we don't, unless we're building a windmill or some other type of, but at that point, it's not really backup power anymore. Gas isn't considered green. The diesel is not considered green.
And so. I always thought tidal energy, maybe we could do something with that, but.
But then again, it's
not enough.
That would be a supplemental power, not a backup power.
Yeah.
So, you know, the diesel is what we do burn them. It's just hopefully for short durations at a time. And they're probably the most dependent thing that we have with today's technology as a backup.
Assembly Member Powell.
I got a general question. I guess we're going to spend $20 million on this after this design, are we? Where did we get that number at?
Just that one wall. If we had a complete building and moved it somewhere.
So this design is going to tell us what we're going to spend to do that building? That's all this is going to do?
It'll be a design for the new building.
For just the back portion of the building?
And the back wall, and then that back portion of that building.
So now I do have a problem. Same problem I had with the public safety building. Okay? I'm watching the Native people put up your building up here that's way under $5 million. That's a fifth of the price of this thing for $639,000. This is crazy to me. Nuts to me that we can have the Native Corporation put up a building I thought was only worth $3 million. Why can't, I mean, that building could house all those generators and offices and the whole nine yards, and I mean, it's $3 million, and we're going to spend basically $633,000 for design. I mean, this is, I mean, I know this is government, and I hate this part of it, but this is crazy to me.
Okay, and then response?
So I would just say that for part of it, it is, the design cost is looking to be a little bit higher just for the fact that it's how do you get rid of the existing structure safely while still supporting the current structure that's there. The current structure that is there is a metal building. I mean, that's what it is. And it would probably be going back with a metal building. I mean, I don't know what the cost estimates were, I don't know what the cost of the new building would be. Maybe there's a way we can try to trim back that cost on how we do it, what type of materials we use, what it's gonna be. Because the real use for that is really gonna be kind of a supporting the back of our existing building, because that the existing structure is what it was built off of, for the old metal building. But I think we could get to where we could probably hopefully try to reduce that cost down. But I think a bulk of what that cost is going to be on the design side is trying to do it in a safe manner for the structure that's currently there, supporting the existing structure, and then being able to get that back portion built on. So it's a little bit more complicated than a new building would actually probably just be way, it'd be cheaper for that area, but we don't really have any other place to put it, given the backbone for all of the other infrastructure that is at that site. All of the transformers, all of the wiring, the cabling, it's all right there.
Any other questions? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Jeff, could you give us a little more clarification on the funding and the earmark and the no longer valid? What's the history and the future for the funding for this?
I mean, we would definitely have to go after grant funding for it. I mean, this does come out of the light and power funding source, so it is separate from all of the other funding. So this is funded entirely by what we pay for rates.
Right, rate payers.
It is. So on the design side, it is, like I said, it's a separate pot. But we would have to go after grant. But if we're going to get the total project, we would have to be getting help from grants, unless we could figure out a way to do it cheaper and fund it ourselves. And then with that become certain stipulations on Buy American Steel, the Build Back Better, IIJA, which all have strings attached on Buy American, American Steel, and then, you know, where all the products come from. So that does increase the cost significantly.
Bacon Davis wages?
Prevailing wage rate, correct. It was bacon wages.
And may I follow up on that? With this design, then, that would put us in a much better position to get grants, that we would be ready to, we would have the information necessary to be more successful. We wouldn't be looking at another design in 3 years or anything else. This will position us as well as we can be for future grants.
It would.
For shovel ready, and that's something we've also talked about, mm-hmm. shovel ready projects that we can act quickly on. Assemblymember DeBoard?
One last point, then I'll shut up.
No.
How many of our projects have we been playing whack-a-mole with grant funding, i.e. the water treatment center? You know, we get a cost estimate of X amount of money. By the time we pull grant funding together, inflation or whatever you want to call it, now it's another 20%, 30%, 40%. So now we're going back to the state saying, hey, can you help us? And here we are, how many years later, playing whack-a-mole with the water treatment center, which is just one project. So, I mean, it's a huge price tag to pay for a chance. I mean, it's almost like a lottery. It's a chance that we might get it later versus just biting the bullet and buying our own steel building, doing ourselves something in the future. Mm. But I just kind of hesitant on, you know, the long term of how much is it going to cost. I read these estimates back, it's going to double the next 3, 4 years, 5 years. Now we wasted over $500,000.
Well, I hear you. These big projects, and I have to constantly remind myself, they take time to try to get all these grant agencies together. And one of these days soon, I want to calculate all the grant money that has come to Wrangell over the last 5 years. It's tremendous. And you're correct. We are constantly running after that grant rabbit, but I don't know what other way to do it.
Well, I'll say this: I don't think there was a variance 5 years ago that we're seeing now. You know, there's a significantly higher variance in bottom yes. dollar price tag than we saw 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Yes, frightening, mm-hmm. And it's not 9% inflation.
No.
Not anywhere near it. Yeah, and borough manager.
I'll just say one last point, and I definitely agree, but I would say to look at the bright side of that is if we did have a design ready project ready to go and tables did turn where we bottomed out, and if we had a recession, you know, definitely don't want that, definitely don't want a depression, but if we did, we'd have a shovel ready project ready to hit the streets to take advantage of that as well. So definitely don't want that at all, but we would have something on the shelf ready to execute a project.
Correct. And for the public, this building was originally built pre 1942.
Built 1910. The cement part of it was
1910 cement was part, or 1942. The number I remember.
40s. We've never been able to find.
And right. And for the public's knowledge, the reason that wall is deteriorating is because we believe they used beach sand for the concrete, and it is just pitting and spalling and virtually disappearing. So, not a good situation. Any other questions or comments? All right, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes.
Excuse me. Brian Howe?
Yep.
Tara Ripple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
No.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Miller?
Yes. Item H, this is a good one, Assembly. Approval of a contract award to Johnson Construction and Supply Incorporated in the amount of $474,497 for the swimming pool siding replacement project.
Move to approve a contract award to Johnson Construction and Supply Incorporated in the amount of $474,497 for the swimming pool siding replacement project.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Morrison. Administrative report.
All right, we are definitely glad to get this project bid on, and definitely thanks to Amber for getting it out. It did come in a little over what our estimate was, so we do have a budget amendment to try to fix that, but this bid was a lot cheaper than the other bid price we got for it, so definitely glad to have this, and would really look forward to getting this awarded to get the construction done this summer.
Okay. It's been a long time, a lot of hard work.
Yes.
Assemblymember Morrison.
The siding is not in town yet. Has it been?
We haven't done any order or anything yet.
Okay.
Still waiting for the approval of the project.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymember Brian Howe?
Yes.
John Ripple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor
Keller? Yes. Item I. Resolution number 05-23-1784 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending FY 2023 budget by transferring $77,288 from the general fund reserves to the Parks and Rec CIP fund for the swimming pool siding replacement project and authorizing its expenditures.
Move for adoption of resolution number 05-23-1784.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins.
Madam Mayor, this covers the additional price plus a contingency, a $24,000 contingency on top of it, just so that there's some money in case something comes up during construction. So we did that, add that in to this
right.
additional cost.
Right. Any questions or comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymember Starmanpole?
Yes.
Powell? David
yes.
Powell? DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Brian Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Keller?
Yes. Item J, another good item here. Approval of a contract award to Vision Metering in the amount of $412,771 for the Automated Metering Infrastructure AMI project.
Move to approve a contract award to Vision Metering in the amount of $412,771 for the Automated Metering Infrastructure AMI project.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins.
Madam Mayor, we had three different companies bid on this project, and we went through the evaluation for the different companies. Took a lot of time to actually award this, just for the fact that we did a lot of background work. So I definitely want to thank Amber and Rod for following up on all of the references that they had. I think we pretty much called every reference that they had, that someone who owned the system, just to verify, find out about the company, find out about their customer service and about the system itself. So another positive, this one, it did come in almost $340,000 under what our estimate was. So definitely look forward to getting this project moving forward.
Assembly member,
how long will the implementation of this take? I mean, how long before you have it installed? And
they had it in their design, I think it was roughly eight months.
This company has meters available. Mm-hmm. So we're expecting that they could deliver those by August. They're pretty much a plug and play, but you know, we're looking at what, close to 2,500 meters. So those meters we can start installing them regardless of whether or not we have the gateways that transfer the information. Mm-hmm. The gateways, I think, are a little bit later than August. Are they available as well? Okay. So, yeah, I think we're looking at within several months. I mean, you know, by September, we could see the entire project implemented.
So this eliminates meter readers then?
It would eliminate the meter, yeah. Yes.
Not only the meter readers, but also shutting on and off the meters themselves. So any turn on, turn off, we can do that straight from the office.
Oh, remotely. Nice.
It can also isolate just a lot of different functionality. This would pair with a water meters as well if we ever get to the point where we can move to that system.
Good.
Assemblymember Howe.
I have to ask, because it's right here, your scoring system, most of the, like, they gained a lot of points because of their cost score, but they were rated lower in other areas. You're not concerned, though? You feel good?
That was one of the reasons why we did go back and check. I think part of the reason that it did get lower was just the others had kind of a redundant system. They had a mesh system and they had a gateway. Mesh, don't want to get too into the weeds, but a mesh system, it's like it'll read meter to meter to meter all the way back. And the gateway system, all of the meters read to basically a server that's located at different points along the way. And then those servers bounce back to the main hub. So because of the mesh systems on the other ones, and then those are bigger companies as well. So the other companies, there was a little concern as we could start going through. Do you go with a nationally known company or a smaller company? But like I said, all the research we did, we pretty much followed up on every reference they had because we did have some concerns.
Yeah.
But everything came back very positive from everyone who was using the system.
Just to answer that a little bit more from another rater's perspective, to be fair, after we did all of the reference checks, we probably should have gone back and changed some of those scores because we rated them lower based on some of the information that they presented that was different than the other two. So in fairness, I guess I just wanted to say that we were satisfied that they offer a robust system that meets our needs and is very simple. And in fact, we kind of determined that a lot more simple than the other larger system. It'll be much less capital cost and much less O&M cost, we think, in the future. But also a very robust system with a robust software that's going to speak to our new financial software. That company is already working with Cassell, and they integrate wonderfully with them already.
Well, just a comment. I mean, if you want to understand, if you want to see why costs are crazy and inflating, we got a $300,000 difference between three bids, and the only difference is that one reads this way and one reads this way. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But attention to detail saves us money.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Sure. Assemblymembers David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
Yes.
Gravenberg?
Yes.
Mayor Gower?
Yes. Okay, Assembly, this next item I don't have on my agenda, but I have in my packet here, and it's the approval of the assignment. Do you see that? Of WMSC lease lot 3?
Nope.
I see modification.
It's on page 393.
Yeah. We don't have 393.
I got that one.
Yeah, we've got that one. Are we missing one, though, when don't we have to do the lease to Dan Thompson?
We already did that one.
Huh. All right, I thought they were switching things. Okay, Assembly, let's go to item L then, approval of the modification to the channel construction leased lot at the 6 Mile property to provide 120 days lease termination notice and allowing the scrapping of barges with an environmental report certifying that they are free of hazardous materials and waste.
Move to approve the modification to the channel construction lease lot at the 6 Mile property to provide 120-day lease termination notice and allowing the scrapping of barges with an environmental report clarifying, certifying they are free of hazardous materials and waste.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Report, please.
Spencer, I was just in conversations with Channel Construction. They were looking at pulling out because they were, I'm not sure why they're an assumption that it was, that they had to leave, because they were always on a month-to-month. But in talking to them and clarifying with them, they were concerned about the 30 days notice of having to leave. I think as we go through this planning process, we're going to know well in advance if we do anything out there. So I definitely feel comfortable about giving them 120-day termination notice as far as time to be able to pull out if they had to leave. And then on the scrapping of the barges, that was always something that they wanted to do. I guess my concern, especially with talking with legal counsel at the time, was any liability we would have from an environmental standpoint if there were any hazardous waste on there. So we were trying to get them to increase their liability insurance to be able to cover some of those costs. I think the halfway point for this is if they can actually get someone on that certifies that there's no environmental waste or substances on there or materials that, you know, feel comfortable that they could then do the scrapping of the material. So no lead paint, no petroleum products, asbestos, or anything like that.
And DEC doesn't have to approve this or anything, do they?
They don't.
Okay. Assemblymember Morrison?
We're not talking about the barges that are sunk. We're talking about the ones that are up on the...
It's the ones they would bring in to scrap.
Oh, okay.
Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Are they talking about, I hope, about the barges that pass that are pulled up on the beach and partially scrapped?
it could be. I'm not sure which ones are one.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be nice.
There's definitely some they want to scrap. So those could be it. I'm not positive if those are them or not. But it definitely gives them the option to. It would be any...
I'm kidding.
All right.
Any other
questions or comments? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members DeBoer?
Yes.
Rhodes?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item M, Ordinance Number 1043 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding Section 5.04.045, volunteer firefighters and providers of emergency medical services exemption to Chapter 5.04, property tax in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of Ordinance Number 1043. And move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on April 11th, 2023.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Report, please.
So, Madam Mayor, definitely appreciate your work on bringing this to our attention and the option to be able to do this. I mean, I think what our volunteer firefighters and EMS bring to this community is tremendous. The time that they spend volunteering, it's just amazing what they do on a day-to-day basis. So I think anything we can do for them as far as relieving some of that tax burden that they do have would be great and justified.
Yes. Assembly Member Howe?
Is the date, I mean, April 11th, 2023.
Oh, that's wrong.
Oh, no, that's not
correct.
Thank you.
Good catch.
Thank you
Good
for
catch.
Finding
well,
that.
Well, what is that?
It'd May 13th. June 13th.
June 13th.
Oh, okay.
That's just happening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, it's fine. Yeah. Maybe I
and unfortunately, this does not go into effect for this coming up tax year, but for the next tax year.
Mm-hmm.
And other communities have do this. So, and I found it in Title 29. It's a good thing. Any questions or comments?
Okay. Can I speak on
it? Oh, Yes, please come to the microphone.
Just a clarification for myself is you show it as being a certified member from the state of Alaska for a firefighter. We submit a roster from the fire department each year to the state of Alaska Fire Marshal's office. Is that what you would be referring to? Or is it a certified firefighter? So if we do a certified firefighter, that becomes a course that's about 250 hours long. That takes staff probably around 500 hours to teach. So, and that basically is each firefighter that takes that class. We need about 8 people to do that.
Right.
So it becomes quite a struggle. I mean, it's once you do your original certification, then it's just keeping up on it. So.
Right.
And then the EMT one would be, you know, it's around 200 hours. With staff of probably around 300 hours. I mean, the staff for the teaching part of it.
We took the language from Title 29. Do you have any suggestions, Borough Manager?
I don't. I'm basically on what the language said, but it's really up to the, we leave it to the fire chief to determine who's eligible.
Yeah.
Borough Clerk?
I would recommend, because right now we have to qualify for this exemption, a person must be certified as a current and active volunteer of the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department by the Wrangell Fire Chief. And then we do have language after that, which speaks to what the Fire Chief is talking about, but it would be my recommendation that we remove the wording after Fire Chief. So, because he is sending something to the state saying that they are an active member of the volunteer fire department, then I think that should be sufficient if it's satisfactory to the assembly.
Oh, okay, or we can look up Alaska statutes 18.08.082 and see what that says. We can amend this on our second reading.
Yep, perfect.
Because I think we all want to push this through, but we have time to work on it. But thank you for bringing that to our attention. Assembly Member Howe.
Oh, I was just going to, I think, just reading it grammatically, it's a, you know, you've got the Oxford comma there. I wonder if those are 3 conditions and one of them is certified as a firefighter. It's like if providing volunteer services or be certified as a firefighter or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it
right.
might just be like having to research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We will double check that.
I love that.
And amend it if need be. All right. Any other questions, comments? Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Davenport?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item N, Resolution Number 05-23-1781 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the IBEW Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Move to approve Resolution Number 05-23-1781.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Report, please.
Mr. Member, we currently have an apprentice working with Light and Power that we're trying to, you know, start working through the journeyman program. And trying to do that, pretty much one of the only ways we can do it is if we go through IBEW as part of their apprenticeship program and go through them. Trying to figure out, and I have talked to some of the other communities as well. I reached out to Petersburg. They're currently part of this, and they pay, I think it's $5,000 for the first 3 years, which that's while they're in the school, and it does require them to go to either Anchorage or Fairbanks to the school. And from everybody I'm sure, it's just a really high quality school that they go to there. So it's one time, I think, 2 times a year for 3 years. But then after that, they pay $3,000 a year indefinitely. I was like, I'm not paying $3,000 every year, because we, for the most part, I think we have a pretty fairly young staff, that will hopefully be with us for quite a while. So went back to them, negotiated with them as far as figuring out what the actual cost of the school was, And that's where we came up with the, I think the total cost is $35,000, so it'd be $5,000 for 7 years, and then we're done with the payments. As part of it, and going through it, and I did work with the union on this as far as what the language was, and then also with the schooling itself for the school in Anchorage that's over it. There will be a requirement for the employee, if they go to the training for 4 years, to pay back. If they leave any time within that 4 years, they have to pay back whatever percentage it is of the time they did serve.
And when you say pay back, it's per diem, it's travel, it's everything.
Correct.
The full value. Okay. Assemblymember Howe.
This is great. I love it. Like in a small town, when you're trying to build capacity and find people to do these essential jobs, this is a great model.
Assembly member DeBoard.
Just a clarification on payback. Would that be prorated? Like if they left at 2 years, they only pay half of that?
Correct.
Or
it's prorated.
And we've already discussed this with the union?
They're the ones that actually worked with the language on them, so we've already negotiated the language on what it's going to say, and both agreed to it.
Okay. Assembly member Powell.
So, let me understand this. So we're going to send somebody to a school to become a lineman, okay? And we're going to pay $35,000 that, pay it back in 5 years or 7 years? 5 years?
I forget if it's 5 or 7 years, either 7,000 or...
Five calendar years. Okay.
So 7,000 for 5 calendar years.
And then... I like the idea. I just disagree with the timelines. Okay, I do not. If we're going to do a 5 year payback, I want a 5 year contract. I don't want a 4 year contract. I want a 5 year contract with the person. And then the other thing is I want penalties. Okay, and the reason why I say that is because if we go to train an lineman and then all of a sudden he says in 1 year he can only pay back $35,000. And he goes down south and makes $200,000 because we just trained him. That's a terrible investment. 100% terrible investment. So I look at it as if we're going to train somebody to do alignment in a job like this, and he could go somewhere else and make a lot more money than we were willing to pay or we could pay, then this looks like a disaster to me getting ready to happen. Okay. Maybe not with this gentleman that you're talking about, or this person, or maybe the next person, but with some down on the line, if we keep doing this, we might lose somebody. I mean, in the first year, and he's only going to pay back $35,000. That's crazy to me.
Borough manager?
It's actually, it'll be over a 7 year period. So it's 5 years the payback, but it's a 7 year, by the time you're all said and done, it's a 7 year program. Because it's going to take them 3 years to finish the program. We'll be paying for those 3 years, and we'll pay for an additional 2 years after that, and they owe back 4 years. So it'll be 7 years that they're committed. Then we'll be paying for the 5 years.
So he's got. So whoever does this program, they're committed for 7 years before they become a lineman?
It'll be 3 years to become a lineman, and then 4 years after the fact. So it's going to take them 3 years to become a lineman.
Okay.
And then they'll owe 4 years on top of it.
And they I got it. So they'll owe us 4 years on top of that they have to pay back the full $35,000?
Correct. And they're still working for us for the 3 years that they're becoming a lineman.
Okay.
So they're still providing a value to the city, and then they'll provide a value for the city for the next 4 years after that. If not, they pay back whatever that cost was to us.
And to your satisfaction, that's clearly spelled out here? Okay, because I didn't catch that.
Well, it's 3 years to become years as part of the apprenticeship, and then 4 years to pay back the school that they would owe at the back end.
Okay, maybe it's the 3 years I missed.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I just don't like the idea that we are training people and not getting our due diligence is what I did. I mean, training people to do a high paying job. I mean, I do training every other year too. So I mean, to do what I do, and I get it, but there's got to be a loyalty program also. I guess if you're comfortable with that, the way it's rolled, I guess we'll try it.
Yeah, I think we're fairly well protected. Any questions or comments before we vote? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison.
Yes.
Brian Howe.
Yes.
Deborah Holt.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
And Mayor
Keller. Yes. Item O, approval of the second amendment of the lease agreement to VBBTS II LLC, a Delaware limited liability company, extending the terms of the agreement and amending the lease to allow a sublease on the existing footprint to Central Council of Tlingit Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska.
Move to approve the second amendment to lease agreement VBPTS II LLC.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison.
Read it back. I didn't get it the first time.
Some explanation, please.
Madam Mayor, in our current lease agreement, and this is Vertical Bridge, they're the ones that have the cell towers around town. Mm. So they're the ones that lease the property for that. In the current lease agreement we had with them, they were not allowed to sublease. With Tlingit and Haida now coming on and then providing that gap and the service that they're now trying to provide out the road and kind of fill in that gap for service out there, this is one of the links that they would need. So it would just be a sublease of the existing property that we're already leasing at Vertical Bridge, and it just allows them to then sublease that property
to
Tlingit Haida. And then we also extend the length of the lease to Vertical Bridge for the service that they currently provide. And to me, this is a service that it provides because it's the cell phone coverage that we have. And I think for Tlingit Haida, it'll be the service they're going to be providing will be a critical link kind of going out the road as well. So I definitely recommend it.
Assembly Member Morrison.
And that's going up on the road to the hospital, right?
It's up by the water treatment
yeah.
plant.
Okay.
Any other Assembly Member Dalrymple?
I'm all for anything to improve cell service.
Me too.
But Assembly, do you remember we had an issue come before us a couple of years ago, perhaps, about subleasing a tower? By the landfill, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and I asked about a maximum on radiation emissions. Do we don't have that on this lease, do we? Borough clerk?
So the one you're talking about was not a sublease, it's a new lease, and that has not happened yet.
Okay, but then there's a provision, I believe, within that lease to sublease without our approval. And we did have discussion about limiting or maxing out any kind of potential radiation. So,
and this would require an approval by the Assembly. So we didn't give up the right for approval by the Assembly.
So Assembly, let's kind of keep track of that because that was an issue for mm-hmm. several community members. All right, any other questions? Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Member Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Davenport.
Yes.
Davenport.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Mayor.
Yes. All right. That concludes our new business. The attorney's file is available in the clerk's office for your review. Now, I propose, Assembly, that we go through all three motions on executive session and handle them all at once, one by one. And then we will recess into executive session and have a break.
I move pursuant to 44.62.310(c)(2) that we recess into executive session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, specifically the borough clerk's evaluation.
And the borough manager's evaluation.
And the borough manager's.
Well, no. Oh, yeah, separately.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
All right, so motion by Howe, second by Robbins. There probably is no discussion. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Stavropol?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B.
I move pursuant to 44.62.310(c)(2) that we recess into executive session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, specifically the borough managers.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Discussion? None. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Stavropol?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And item C.
I move pursuant to section 44-62-310(c)(2) that we recess into executive session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character. With a discussion on the strategies in the best interest of the city and borough of Wrangell regarding the possible purchase of a portion of 02-021-500 plat 2019-7 lot A.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Stavropol?
Yes.
David
Powell? Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Assembly, we will recess into executive session at 8 p.m.